Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back, 23 after the hour. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. I'm Jim Blasingame. I am the Small Business Advocate, and we're having a great visit with our new friend, Ted Gravelin. Ted is the author of Shift, the 7 Steps to a Business That Serves You. We've been talking about planning, Ted. We were just talking about hiring people. He's a business owner just like you and me, but he's also helping small business owners just like you and me in his business, in his work as the owner and president of Business Freedom Factory. Ted, you talked about the HR process, and you pointed out how poorly most small business owners are, and that's the truth. Of the two areas that we do the worst job on is HR and marketing.
And I believe that. Yep.
And the HR part is just so distasteful to us. We have an opening, we want to fill it, we just want to get it done and get it over with, get it behind us and get this person to work. We're not as disciplined as we need to be, are we, in HR?
No. And the thing is, I've come up with a few ways that I learned from some other contractors, some very successful ones that I worked with, you know, earlier on in my career. And one of the best solutions to that was to start doing group interviews at a certain time every week. Hmm. Just, you know, if you have 15 or 20 people come in every Tuesday at 6 p.m. or something, whatever. And that way you can wade through out of 20 people, you wade through the 18 you really don't want to talk to anyway.
Group meetings.
They weren't going to fit, you know.
Group?
And it's not about, yeah.
Explain that.
Well, just, you know, in a conference room at your office or whatever, say, hey, we're interviewing at 6 o'clock Tuesday. And then everyone shows up. You don't have to tell them it's a group. We're just doing interviews. They all come in.
You talk to all of them at the same time?
Absolutely. I tell them all about what we're looking for, what we're about, and we sell what our opportunity is. And I can tell from that whether there's any of those people I really want to talk to.
Huh.
Whether they're going to be a fit. And I just waged through hours and hours of sitting around, and I kind of got to that because I got really sick and tired of somebody saying they're going to come at a certain time, and I'm there in my office waiting, and they don't show up, and no call or no cancellation.
Right.
And I could have been doing something else. You know, do that 4 or 5 times a week. That's 4 or 5 hours a week.
One of the things that more are revealing these days in surveys, business owners, is that their number one problem is finding qualified people.
Right.
What do you see?
Well, I just came to the conclusion you have to wade through 100 people.
You got to kiss a lot of toes, don't you?
Yeah. So why, if you're going to have to wade through 100 people, I don't want to spend 100 hours doing it. I want to spend 4 or 5 hours.
Mm-hmm.
And that way I can find the 4 or 5 I really want to talk to, and I'll invite them back the next day for a one-on-one. And you know.
How do you decide which ones you're going to invite back? What's your criteria?
I used to get my office manager to help me with that, actually. She would be taking some notes while I was telling them what we were about and everything. And, you know, kind of let her give me a vibe of, like, does this person seem like somebody we want? Did they show up on time? Were they asking good questions? You know, more looking for character, right? You know, were they interested? Did they seem like they were kind of a prima donna that I didn't want to have, you know?
Right.
The different things, and I would just get a vibe like, oh, is this somebody I'd rather talk to more just at first glance?
Mm-hmm.
Just getting through that was a big step.
When you try to find the one out of the five, though, what's your criteria?
It would depend on the job I was trying to get.
By your gut, or do you do it off the hip, or do you have a little bit of a sophisticated process?
Well, it would depend on the job. Obviously, if you're looking for a salesperson, they have to have a different personality than like a technician.
Right.
So it just depends,
right.
You know, depends on what you're looking for.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you can say if I'm looking for salespeople and they don't seem friendly and outgoing, well, what are we doing here? So, you know.
What are you telling people these days that you're helping about dealing with customers? How are you talking to them about that?
Well, most of the time I see the whole thing comes down to a time management problem overreaching for everything we do, right? So I think an awful lot of customers get themselves trained to, well, I need to talk to the owner. Well, I don't want them to have to talk to the owner because mm-hmm. that means I have to do it every time. So what you have to do is figure out how you're going to empower your people so that they can just handle it if they call my office manager and if someone wants a refund, well, just give it to them. You don't have to ask me.
So you're giving them the responsibility and the authority.
Exactly. That's one of the problems. You're responsible for something, but you're not allowed to make
it. And what do you do if they mess up with all that responsibility, all that authority? What do you do when they mess up?
Well, you can't get angry unless they keep doing it.
Right.
You know? That's a learning opportunity. You say, hey, look, you know, you gave a refund. It's fine. That's our policy. It's 100% guarantee anyway. That's okay. But is there something else we can offer?
Right.
Just train. Just
what
train,
did we learn? That's what you have to ask them, isn't it?
Right. Yeah. It's, what did I learn? What did you learn? What can we do differently next time? Is there something? Why did that customer want a refund? Could we have done something to make it not be necessary?
Isn't the key to customers thinking about them in a relational standpoint rather than a transactional standpoint?
Absolutely. Oh, yeah, for sure. You know, I mean, it's one of the things that I guess all of these things we're talking about are things like when I'm working with my private consulting clients, they're sometimes it depends on what they're stuck on, but sometimes they're stuck on something like hiring. Sometimes they're stuck on something like you said on marketing because what's really funny is that almost everyone will say, well, I just need more customers. Well, there's three ways to build a business, right? I mean, one way is to sell more to the customers you have. The other one is to sell more often to the customers you have. And the third way is to go find more customers.
Mm-hmm.
And the third way is very, very expensive.
The book is called Shift, The 7 Steps to Business That Serves You. Ted Gravlin. Come back soon, Ted. Good job today.
I will. Thanks, Jim.
Ted Gravlin, ladies and gentlemen. TedGravlin.com. That's his website. I'm going to take a quick break. I'm Jim Blasingame. I'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.